This is a very challenging gospel. I was trying to think of how to speak about it, and what came to mind was a scene from that movie, Gandhi. Maybe you've seen that movie, it's already 40 years old. A very good movie about that, the hero of India, Gandhi. Anyway, in the middle of that very long movie, there's a minor scene in which some young men approach Gandhi. These young men are Indian citizens, but they have studied in elite schools in England, and now they have come back to India, and they approach Gandhi in this dusty village, which is Gandhi's headquarters, I guess, and they offer their help in the growing new movement toward working for independence. And they're dressed in their fancy Western suits, and Gandhi is dressed in his very plain cloth. So they want to help. And Gandhi turns to them and he says, "This may take months." And they say, "Fine, you know, they're young men, they don't have anything to do, they're rich." And then he says, "You will have to live with the peasants." And they shrug their shoulders, fine to them, they accept that. And then he says, "There will be risks." And the young men look at each other and they kind of, with hesitation, they nod their heads. They accept Gandhi's challenge. And that's it. It's a very short scene, probably no one would remember it. But it came back to my mind in connection with today's gospel. These enthusiastic, idealistic young men, they want to help. And Gandhi, rather than welcoming them with an enthusiastic, warm welcome, he seems more interested in testing them. He wants to see if they're really committed, if they're really determined to persevere, even when the work gets difficult or risky. Because if they're just coming along for a fun ride, or because this is becoming a popular fad, he doesn't want that. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus does something similar to three men whom he encounters when he himself is resolutely determined to go to Jerusalem. He challenges each of them with the costs of discipleship. Now let's look at each of these three. The first man approaches Jesus, seems that it's his own initiative. He approaches Jesus and says, "I will follow you wherever you go," which strikes us as being a very beautiful thing to say. Good start, great intentions. Does Jesus say, "Great, come along and join the party"? No. Instead, his answer to this man is a very strange line about foxes and birds. Foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. Why does Jesus say that? Well, he wants to alert this potential disciple to what it really means to become one of his followers. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, he's not expecting a comfortable throne. He's expecting to be rejected and executed. So unlike the foxes and the birds, creatures of this earth that belong to this world, Jesus does not belong to this world, and he doesn't have acceptance. His mission extends beyond earthly comfort and security. And so he's saying to the man, "You say you will follow me wherever I will go. I'm going to the cross. Are you sure you want to follow me?" And Jesus says the same thing to us. That's why I say this is a challenging gospel. He's inviting us to follow him. He is giving us an opportunity to enter eternal life. He knows that following him is the best way to live. It's the way to eternal life and eternal happiness. But it's also a costly way. It's the way of the cross. The second man, Jesus is the one who takes the initiative. He says to another man, "Follow me." And the man responds, "Let me go first and bury my father." Which sounds to us like a very reasonable request. And if his father's dead or near death, yes, it's certainly what he should do. That's what following the Lord would mean. Take care of your father who has died. But if his father is alive and well, and the context here seems to imply that his father is alive and he might live for many more years, then the question is, well, how long are you going to wait before you decide to follow me? Are you using your father as an excuse to put off your vocation? And the lesson for us here is, don't let anything take priority over the will of God. Don't procrastinate. Don't set conditions. Don't make excuses. Say yes to God and mean it. Put your yes into practice. Don't wait. That's why Jesus says to this man something which seems so shocking to us. He says, "Let the dead bury their dead." As if he were saying, don't let your own spiritual life die waiting around for other people to die. Take on the path of life and don't wait. The third man comes along and he says to Jesus, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." Whenever you hear a statement like that, "I will, but," you know there's a problem, there's a condition. Again, it sounds like a good intention. It sounds very much like what we heard in the first reading where the prophet Elisha receives his call and goes back to say goodbye to his people. And if the man who approaches Jesus is really ready to say goodbye and is determined to follow Jesus, well, okay, that's fine. Jesus, however, notices something missing. He gives the man a warning about setting his hand to the plow and looking back. That is, as if he were saying to him, don't begin this project with a lingering attachment to what you're going to have to leave behind. Jump in with both feet, or don't start at all. Maybe the man who said, "I will follow you, but," maybe he was hoping to get the permission of his family. Or maybe he was thinking of following Jesus for a limited amount of time, one semester, or until he could find something better to do. Jesus rejects conditional followers. He wants us to know the greatness of being his disciple. And that's why he calls us. He wants us to know this is really the best way to go. But he also wants us to know that it's a costly journey. Just like Gandhi speaking to those young graduates, Jesus wants us to have a realistic vision of what discipleship means. And so he asks for firm determination. Make a decision and follow it. One last thought. Anyone who has tried to follow Jesus, who's really tried to follow him faithfully, knows that it is difficult. We don't have to read this gospel to know that it's a challenge to live as a Christian. Sometimes it even seems impossible. Even if we are firmly determined, even if we know that the cost is great and the rewards are even greater, still, the weakness of our fallen nature just sometimes gets the better of us. And even when we try hard, we still sometimes fail. Not in the beginning of the spiritual life. In the early moments or early stages of conversion, it's very joyful and seemingly easy. But at some point, it gets hard. This is not for beginners. This is for people who are really determined to persevere. at some point it gets hard. There's going to be opposition from the world, and there's going to be opposition maybe even from our own relatives. There's going to be doubts, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be objections from the flesh. And this is where we can benefit from what St. Paul says in today's second reading. He makes clear the difference between living by the Spirit and living according to the desires of the flesh. It's two different ways or two different bases for how we're going to live. If we want to persevere as disciples, we need strength that comes from God. We can't do it on our own. We need the strength of the Holy Spirit. I remember what Jesus says in another place when the apostles ask him, well, who can be saved? Who can be saved? And Jesus says, for man, it is impossible, but not for God. With God, all things are possible. In other words, Jesus is not trying to discourage us. He's not trying to frighten us, intimidate us. He's trying to reveal to us the importance of making a decision and the importance of relying on strength that comes from heaven, strength that comes from God. So this is what I think this gospel is telling us. Make the decision, a firm decision to follow the Lord without turning back, without lingering attachments, and rely on the strength that God himself provides, the strength of the Holy Spirit.